Hello, and welcome to the My Control Room podcast, the only podcast featuring tips, discussion, and commentary on control room ergonomics, human-machine interfaces, alarm management, and much, much more. This podcast is brought to you by User-Centered Design Services, and now, President of User-Centered Design Services, Ian Nimmo.
Hello, this is Ian Nimmo from User-Centered Design Services. I'm the President and CEO of the company. Welcome to the podcast. Today we hope you get some value out of our discussion, and we always encourage you to call us and talk to us about these topics. And we sometimes need to go deeper, and we have some better techniques today to actually achieve those goals. One of the things we want to look at is we want to look at some of the organizational factors. Things like strategic decisions, generic organization processes, forecasting, budgeting, allocating resources, planning and scheduling, communication, managing and auditing, and the like. These processes can be colored and shaped by their corporate culture, or they can be unspoken attitudes and unwritten rules concerning the way an organization carries out its business. The consequence of these activities are then communicated through the organization to individual workplaces, to control rooms, to air traffic controllers, to maintenance facilities, etc. They reveal themselves as factors likely to promote unsafe acts, undue time pressure, inadequate tools and equipment, poor human-machine interfaces, insufficient training, undermanning, not having enough people, poor supervision, the ratio between supervisors to workers, low pay, low status, macho cultures, unworkable or ambiguous procedures, poor communications. So within the workplace, these local factors combine with the natural human tendencies to produce errors and violations. They're collectively termed unsafe acts. They're committed by individuals and teams at the sharp end and direct human system interface. Large numbers of these unsafe acts will be made, but only very few of them will actually create holes in the defences. Unsafe acts are implicated in most organisational accidents. They are not necessarily the condition. On some occasion, the defences fail simply as the result of those latent conditions. So far, we've considered the causal sequence from an organisational factors to local workplace conditions to individual or team unsafe acts, to failed defences and bad outcomes. In the analysis or accident investigation of an accident, the direction is reversed. What happened? The bad outcome. How and when were the defences failed? What active failures or latent conditions were involved? Examine each individual unsafe act. Were the defences breached or bypassed? What local conditions shaped or provoked the unsafe act? What upstream organisational factors contributed? Although the frequency of individual accidents has decreased dramatically over the years, their basic nature has remained unchanged. And again, we have the traditional slips, lapses, trips and fumbles, and slips is about 50%. Of that list. So how do we develop a set of concepts that are equally applicable to all these highly individual and infrequent events? How do we improve prevention? Two sets of terms are proposed. A framework for understanding the details of an individual event, that's the hazard, defences and losses, the tension between production and protection offers a means of understanding the process that led to the defence failures. Two such processes were the trading off of protection gains for productive advantage and the gradual deterioration of defences during periods in which the absence of bad events creates the unrocked boat syndrome. Modern technological systems are largely immune to isolated failures. They are the single features most responsible for the emergence of an organizational accident. By their functions and their modes of application, both these hard and soft defenses we talked about, awareness, understanding, warning, guidance, restoration, interposition, containment, escape, and rescue. This presentation concludes with two perspectives on the development of an organization. The first is mishaps were likely to be individual accidents until modern times, when the greatest risk was from rare but catastrophic organizational accidents. Organization accidents caused from upstream systematic factors through local factors, promoting errors and violations to the level of the individual who committed these unsafe acts. Some of these active failures are likely to have an immediate adverse effect upon local defences. Many others will be inconsequential. When the gaps produced by active failures line up with those created by latent conditions, a window of opportunity exists for an accident trajectory to bring hazards into damaging contact with people and assets. I'd like to just finish with a summary of an accident that happened a few years ago in the United Kingdom. And it was a Texaco Pembroke installation. And again, it's not that they had bad defences. Their personal safety record was very good. And they had the same defences as most companies. They had the same barriers, the same protection systems, and the same investment as many of their peer companies. However, on that one night during an electrical storm, a bolt of lightning hit a transmitter on their crewed unit, which caused their crewed unit to go into a shutdown mode. Not a big deal, everything shut down safely the way it's supposed to do. And they called out an instrument technician who came and replaced the transmitter and brought the unit back online. And everything went as planned and the way it should work. Unfortunately, the impact of that incident caused one of the plants that receives feed from the crewed unit, which is called a cat cracking process, which makes gasoline, to go into recirculation mode. And that's not a big deal. They can maintain that mode for a long period, and once the feed is re-established, they just open the valves again and start producing gasoline. Unfortunately, that night, things didn't go as planned. Alarms were being produced at dramatic rates. Operator had thousands of alarms in front of him. None of them were prioritised correctly, so he couldn't tell which was the most important. So within the plethora of alarms that were produced, important alarms were missed. That night, the operator lost situation awareness. He had no idea what was coming in the way of feed and what was going out of the plant once he tried to re-establish flow. His levels on his debutanizer were all over the place. He kept flooding his wet gas compressor and having to get the liquid removed from the system while he tried to re-establish his levels correctly. Every time he did this, he continued to fill a flare knockout drum. And that's what the role of the knockout drum is for, is to take excessive liquid and take it to the flare for burning. So that was working correctly. However, what didn't work correctly was that the level in that flare knockout drum began to raise to a high level and produce a high level alarm, which was missed in the plethora of alarms. Then eventually there was a high alarm, which was also missed because of lack of priority, and by which time the operator was totally ignoring the alarms. The HMI was not providing any useful information. You couldn't tell what was new. Everything was just a sea of red and yellow on the screens. It was night shift and the operator was probably fatigued. He was probably fatigued at looking at the bright colours on his screen, all glowing and flashing with alarms. And eventually that flare knockout drum overflowed and a large slug of liquid went down the flare line. Now, flare lines are designed to carry gases, not liquid. The weight of the liquid caused a loss of containment at one of the bends in the flare line, which, again, another contribution was it was corroded with age. That loss of containment caused a massive explosion. Fortunately, it happened over a holiday weekend and there wasn't many people on site. If it had been during the daytime, there'd been a large loss of life on that plant. It became a major incident in our industry and it became a public inquiry because of the potential of the explosion and the amount of damage that was caused to the cat cracking unit, which was down for 2 years, and there was loss of gasoline to the UK. That is one example of an organisational accident, and similar ones that we've had, like BP Texas City and Esso Longford, all come down to one major condition, and that is the operator's loss of situational awareness. The alarm system is supposed to be a tool that helps them with that situation awareness. The human-machine interface is another tool that helps them with that situation awareness. And good communications and, again, being alert are all things that work towards good situation awareness. That night, the operator's situation awareness was compromised and we had a major organisational accident. It was not that there was no defences. It was that there was holes in the defences caused by the action that was brought on from the lightning strike. So we can write it off as an accident associated with lightning. But as we look deeper, we see major failures, major holes in the HMI, the alarm system, the procedures, the training, the control room lighting, all the things that impact the operator's ability to have good situation awareness. So we talk about this topic today mainly to reinforce why it is worth investing both time and money with an organisation that really understands how to provide good situation awareness. And again, it's all about the operator's ability to detect, to diagnose, and to respond to problems. And if that is compromised, either at the detection stage or the diagnosis stage, or finally the recovery stage, we can have a major incident and we have to prevent these from happening. We cannot cope with this loss of life that's brought on by these organisational accidents. So we stress the design of the control room, and instead of having a flawed control room that will contribute to loss of situation awareness, high performance HMI, human machine interface, alarms that have been set up correctly and meet today's key performance indicators identified in the MUA, EEMUA 191 guidelines. And operators that are trained correctly with good documentation, with good procedures. We've got to remove the holes in our defences. And as we look at plants today, we see lots of holes. And those holes will eventually line up and people have an accident. And it won't be because they don't have defences. It's because they've got holes in the defences. And we're an organisation that likes to fill those holes. So thank you for listening. This is Ian Nimmo from User Centred Design Services, President and CEO of the company. You can find more information out about us on mycontrolroom.com. You'll find some technical papers and you'll find some ideas about how a service is. We hope you look on there, and if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact us. All our contact information is available on the website.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you would like more information on UCDS, Ian Nimmo, and the rest of his team, please visit mycontrolroom.com.